And welcome. We're back here. Chris Steiner here with you on Liberation Station Radio Show. Thank you for tuning in today. It is a live show, May 1st, 2022. And I'm back after 2 weeks. Last week I wasn't feeling well, and I'm about 100%, getting to 100% gradually. Overexerted myself. Sometimes it's great to be exhausted and sleep well and get more God-focused. And get greater intuition when you have a lot to do and not enough time to do it, though I'm glad to have the energy to get a lot of stuff done that needed to be done here and see a lot of changes and have the energy to continue cleaning house and selling items online. As you may know, I'm an online merchant, and getting organized is something that... Once you start doing it, you can't stop, and then you find so many other demands on your time. It seems that the saying applies that if you need something done, ask someone busy. So when people see me busy, it seems like that's the time they choose to ask me to do things. And, of course, I do what I can. Sometimes you say, oh, that'll just take 5 minutes, and it takes a little bit longer than that. So I'm glad to have the energy to... come back here with you. And the week before was Easter, so I wasn't able to, none of the shows were on 2 weeks ago. That was April 17th. The website is theliberationstation.com. That's the site for this show. Liberation Station Radio Show is theliberationstation.com. We're here with you on Republic Broadcasting Network every Sunday, God permitting, from 10 a.m. to noon Central Time, 11 a.m. to 1 Eastern Time. And I'm glad to have had Dr. Judy Mikovits on the National Intel Report when I guest hosted this past April 20th. Still haven't had the time to edit that video to add the, when I edit a video, I add the good audio archive from RBN rather than the Facebook Live audio, and post those up on various video hosting sites. So I hope to get that done today, tomorrow, hopefully. That's my goal. I think tomorrow is more realistic, but we shall see as time goes on, as time permits. And gosh, as time is flying here, don't know if I have enough time to play this clip. We're here with you on Facebook Live also. This first clip is 24 minutes, so let me get that, try to get that queued up. And we're here also on Facebook Live at facebook.com/WeAreChangeTampa. And coming up this May 6th, I'll also be guest hosting on National Intel Report. That's every weekday from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 to 7 Central Time. And Sam, I'm having a hard time keeping an eye on the time itself, so I'm not sure if we have 24 minutes to play this first clip uninterrupted, which I'm still trying to get queued up. My Facebook Live computer was a little bit slow in booting up, and I had it get started right in the nick of time as the intro music started. And give me just a moment here, Sam. Let's see, do we have 24 minutes or so to play this first clip? You can read me in. Yeah, now I can.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, then let me get into some news. And then when we hit the break, I'll have this first clip queued up. We'll get into some news from the High Wire, L. Big Three, his regular interview, Jeffrey Jackson, coming after this next half-hour break, coming up in about 23 minutes. And so I'll tease that right now. And I have these three computers running, and I'm trying to get everything worked out here. My cat, I'll blame her, my roommate, my cat bumped my webcam, and for some reason the Facebook live stream wasn't going straight, or wasn't going until, as I said, right in the nick of time, the webcam wasn't straight. If you'd like to reach us here, the call-in numbers are 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252. And as well as Facebook Live, you can join in at the listens on the chat room on the listen/archives page on my site at theliberationstation.com. And I'll go tune into that as well, try to pay attention. And let's start out here with, Sam, if you have a moment, could you get clip number 2 ready to play? And let me know whenever you have that ready to go. Oh, great. Wow, that was fast. Thanks, Sam. All right, this is the HHS secretary admits that the COVID shots kill minorities at twice the rate of white people. So go right ahead and please play that clip.
By the way, we know that vaccines are killing people of color, blacks, Latinos, indigenous people at about 2 times the rate of white Americans.
Just days after getting their second COVID-19 vaccine, 2 teenage boys died in their sleep. Medical experts have been investigating what happened, and they've now released their report. An epidemiologist says it adds to a body of evidence that confirms Pfizer's vaccine can lead to death in children. NTD's Miguel Moreno reports.
To attend class in some parts of the country, kids need to be vaccinated against COVID-19. The federal government says they're safe, but gives them warning labels of what could lead to death.
This myocarditis warning that is out on Pfizer Moderna is very serious.
Epidemiologist Peter McCullough says this in light of a new report. Its authors investigated the cases of 2 teenage boys from different states. Both of them had received second doses of the Pfizer vaccine, only to die a few days later in their sleep. McCullough says that in his view, the study confirms that Pfizer's vaccines led to the deaths of the teenagers.
That's the conclusion now, and it's the conclusion of several reports in the peer-reviewed literature. This isn't the only one. So it's clear that our FDA warnings on these vaccines are valid and justified, and these reports indicate in some cases, it's fatal.
The report was published by the College of American Pathologists, which is considered the largest organization of board-certified pathologists. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, known as the CDC, lists the myocarditis warning on its website for both Pfizer and Moderna's vaccines, but no mention that myocarditis could lead to death. We contacted the CDC, but we haven't heard back.
We know we had to do a couple of things. First, we had to change the paradigm where people had to come to us in order to get services. We decided we have to go to you because too many folks aren't fully aware of the kind of services and programs that are available to them. So we didn't want to wait. We went to you. And the other thing we realized is we had to collect better data so we would know where you are and who you are that need the help most. And so we established a Minority Health Social Vulnerability Index, which helps us collect data, better data, so good quality data, better collection methodology, so we could actually figure out where we needed to go rather than wait for you to come to us. Secondly, by having better data, we could do a couple of things. Vaccines, a year ago today, by the way, we know that vaccines are killing people of color, blacks, Latinos, indigenous people at about 2 times the rate of white Americans. So on vaccines last year, we saw that about 2/3 of white American adults had received at least one shot of vaccine. That was just barely over 50% for black Americans and Latinos at that particular time. So again, we've got to work. Today, a year later, over 80% of white American adults have received at least one shot. Over 80% of black American adults have received at least one shot. Over 80% of Latino Americans have received at least one vaccine shot. That's because we went to you and we had better data to tell us. Same time, President Biden made a commitment. We're going to get more people insured so they have access to healthcare and the peace of mind that comes from knowing you can take your child to the hospital and not go bankrupt. What did we find? Well, too many folks in our communities were not getting the care they needed because they weren't getting the insurance they could afford. We went to work. I can tell you that after a successful enrollment period for the Affordable Care Act, where we broke records, we now have 14.5 million Americans who've signed up for health insurance and have peace of mind because of the Affordable Care Act. Well, within that, 35% more Black Americans signed up for a health care policy under the Affordable Care Act than just last year. 25% more Latinos signed up for a health care plan than did last year. We went to you. We got the good data. That's how you reach people.
And there you heard it. There you heard it from the Health and Human Services Secretary, Javier Becerra. And could never be confused for a Freudian slip or any other kind of slip. So it's quite clear. And I think that this is a good moment in history to take note of and to keep praying, as I say in the past, whenever you have a public official who makes such an honest disclosure, that they continue doing so, that the spirit moves them to continue knowing that they did the right thing. As I've said in the past, you can pray, send good vibes, the Holy Spirit, energize your body and direct that ecstatic Holy Spirit to public officials in order to do the right thing, just to motivate them to do what's good for the do what's best for all, and help put them in that sort of a divine trance. And sometimes if you don't keep up the prayer after they've done the right thing, they might come out of that trance and wonder, what was I thinking? What did I do that for? It just jeopardized everything, my whole life, my chances for re-election. And they start to ponder, what was I thinking? So keep up the prayer and prevent those public officials from retracting, discouraging them with the spirit, from retracting, going back on, backtracking on those public statements, those honest public statements. And let's move on next to an article that was posted March 19th, 2022, this year, by Dr. Toby Rogers on his Substack platform, his Substack page at tobyrogers.substack.com. By the way, I mistakenly called him a chiropractor about a month ago when I was referring to him on the show, and he's actually a PhD, so I'm not sure on what timeline I was when I said that. So he is a PhD. And this article is entitled "The Legal Right to Refuse Medical Treatment in the USA." Ronald B. Standler, Esquire, has produced an extraordinary resource that summarizes key legal precedents. I want to draw your attention to an extraordinary legal resource that I just discovered, hat tip to the brilliant, at Blue Ivy Rose on Instagram. It's a document prepared by Massachusetts lawyer Ronald B. Standler titled "Legal Right to Refuse Medical Treatment in the USA." It summarizes all of the key court cases up until 2012, when it was published, that established the legal right to refuse medical treatment. And he writes, "This essay discusses the history of judicial opinions that hold a mentally competent adult patient has the legal right to, in the United States, to refuse continuing medical treatment for any reason, even if that refusal will hasten his or her death." And that's a quote. His summaries are excellent and really zoom in on the key quotes from the decisions. Quote, basis for right to refuse treatment in history. The history of the right to refuse medical treatment in the USA is often traced back to two judicial opinions, Union Pacific Railway Company v. Botsford, B-O-T-S-F-O-R-D, at 141 U.S. 250 and 251. That's from 1891. Botsford sued railroad for concussion resulting from alleged negligence of railroad. Railroad wanted surgical examination of her injuries. Request for railroad denied. Quote, no right is held more sacred or is more carefully guarded by the common law than the right of every individual to the possession and control of his own person, free from all restraint or interference of others unless by clear and unquestionable authority of law. Schloendorf, the Society of New York Hospital, that's at 105 Northeast Reporter, 9293. It's a New York case from 1914. Quote, every human being of adult years and sound mind has a right to determine what shall be done with his own body. And a surgeon who performs an operation without his patient's consent commits an assault for which he is liable in damages. It goes on like this for 57 pages with summaries of key cases, discussion of major issues raised by each case, and important insights into how the courts have interpreted these precedents over the years. I imagine this will be helpful resource for warrior mamas in child custody cases trying to keep their kids from being poisoned by vengeful spouses. I also think it may be helpful for our warrior litigators fighting against a wide range of pharma-fascist policies at the federal, state, and local levels. One bummer about the document is that it is a locked PDF, which makes it difficult to copy and paste. I imagine that clever people will find a way around that. And that document is at RBS. That's RBS as in RBS number 2, I should say, .com. R as in Robert, B as in boy, S as in Sam, or as in Ronald B. Standler, RBS number 2.com. /RR, M as in Mary, T as in Tom, .pdf. And again, that this document is the legal right to refuse medical treatment in the USA. And we'll pick up on this and more when we get back here on Liberation Station Radio Show. I'm Chris Steiner. The site is theliberationstation.com. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back. Because there's nowhere you can run and still feel safe.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-certified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Station radio show. I'm Chris Steiner, and let folks know I'm going to try to keep up on posting the links of my references here in the Facebook Live feed. That's at facebook.com/wearechange.tampa, and in the chat room, which is at the listen/archives page at theliberationstation.com, where you can also find the button for the Facebook Live feed. And I'll pick up where we left off here. Your calls will be welcome here in about a half hour. We have a few more minutes to finish this article, and then after that, we'll come to go to commercial, come back with about a 24-minute clip. And so in about 35 minutes, we'll have the phone lines open, but you can start lining up at 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252. And toll-free 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. And to continue the article, which is at tobyrogers.substack.com, entitled "The Legal Right to Refuse Medical Treatment in the USA," Ronald B. Standler, Esquire, has produced an extraordinary resource that summarizes key legal precedents, dated March 19th, 2022, at tobyrogers.substack.com. To continue the article, to recap, we are at in the legal fight against vaccine mandates. There are four broad sets of legal doctrines that clearly support bodily autonomy. One, the U.S. Constitution, including the right to freedom of speech and freedom of religion, First Amendment, the right of people to be secure in their person, Fourth Amendment, the prohibition on involuntary servitude, 13th Amendment, and the right to equal protection under the law, 14th Amendment, all support personal sovereignty. And, of course, there's the Ninth Amendment and the Tenth Amendment for states' rights, but the Ninth Amendment for all the rights that are not delegated. I better just read that Ninth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. And in just a moment, I'll read that. Getting back to the Fourth Amendment, the right to be secure in your person has been violated because the CDC has admitted a tenth of the PCR test results have been submitted for genetic sequencing. So they've taken that genetic material, as well as there's a risk of the olfactory nerves being damaged, causing a loss of sense of smell, which some might think is caused by COVID. But when you jab that PCR swab up your nose, and those olfactory nerves that are dangling down in the nasal cavity can be damaged, can be permanently damaged, and that can cause a lack of smell. So that's what folks might be blaming COVID for, thinking they have COVID, they don't. Ninth Amendment, the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. And the Tenth Amendment for states' rights as well. So let's continue with this article. Number two, international law and medical norms, including Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which does have its flaws. That's the UN Universal Declaration of Human Rights at UN.org. I'm not going to get into that now. The Nuremberg Code, the Declaration of Helsinki, the UNESCO Universal Declaration of Bioethics and Human Rights. And I will interject that all these international laws like the Nuremberg Code, the Helsinki Principles, Hague Conventions, and Geneva Conventions all declare that it is a war crime and a crime against humanity to deprive a civilian population of a needed resource. You can learn more about that over on the water fluoridation blog on my site at theliberationstation.com. Theliberationstation.com on the blogs page, see the water fluoridation blog, and it goes into how it's a war crime to deprive a civilian population of a needed resource, namely, in that case, water, where it comes to overpricing the water and supply, and of course, toxifying it with fluoride and other toxins like heavy metals and radioactive isotopes, all in the name of water fluoridation, when they add the untreated phosphate mining waste to it. And so similarly, that's what's been happening with the mask requirements, preventing a preventing a civilian population of the needed resource of oxygen. And lastly on this list, getting back to this article, the UNESCO Universal, I did mention the UNESCO Universal Declaration of Bioethics and Human Rights. Number three, the mountain of case law cited in Legal Right to Refuse Medical Treatment in the USA, that's linked at this article, shows that the courts have long supported medical autonomy. And we'll finish up with point number four when we get back here on Liberation Station Radio Show. I'm Chris Steiner, and please stay tuned. Companies claim that it's made for me, and the government, they're gonna pay for me.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
I'm Peter Serafin with today's Liberty Minute. The U.S. Constitution is remarkable in many ways. In about 4,500 words on four pages of parchment, 55 men outlined a new form of government, the three branches, the powers of each, the people who will hold office, how they become office holders, and so much more. 22 of those men, or 40%, were lawyers. They chose not to obfuscate the document with legalese and pages of clauses and conditions. They chose to write a document in language simple enough that we, the people, can read it and understand it. That was probably the last time a lawyer ever wrote anything so simple. It was definitely the last time our federal government wrote anything with the understanding of we, the people, in mind. Everything that comes out of Washington, D.C. today is so convoluted that even the original intent is lost. Until tomorrow, civis pacem, parabellum.
Extendivite really works. Kate, great for bodybuilding or endurance athletes. I can't say enough about Extendivite. It brings more oxygen to your muscles while working out. I never bought this product for heart health, but to improve circulation, and I am not at all disappointed. I noticed an immediate boost in my gym performance, but I thought I would wait to review in case it was a placebo effect. It definitely was not. This is the most powerful supplement I have ever taken in 30 years of bodybuilding. I have taken everything. Extendivite outperforms them all. The ability to squeeze just one more rep or add just a few more pounds to the barbell depends on your ability to carry oxygen where it counts, deep inside your muscle tissues. The added benefits of heart and liver health I consider a bonus. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-and-lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-and-lift?
Our EaseOff is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the EaseOff installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com. That's EaseOff.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Welcome to the revolution. All the walls are breaking down. It's time you had a taste of losing. Time the tables turn around.
And we're back here on Liberation Station Radio Show. Thanks, Sam, for cutting that off early for me. As much as I love to hear the lyrics of Anastasia's song, Army of Me, that's a new bumper song that replaced her other song that's entitled Oncoming Train. I thought that was a little bit dismal. I'd like something a little bit more upbeat. And I like her activism music as well. So let's get back here and make sure I have enough time, thanks to Sam, to play the next clip. But I'll finish up this article from the last segment from Toby Rogers, tobyrogers.substack.com, The Legal Right to Refuse Medical Treatment in the USA. Ronald B. Standler, Esquire, has produced an extraordinary resource that summarizes key legal precedents. And I forgot to mention, I'm Chris Steiner here on Liberation Station Radio Show, checking out the chat room and the Facebook live feed. Now back to finishing the article on point number four. This recent Supreme Court decision in the OSHA case and five other federal cases established that federal agencies do not have the power to mandate a medical product. And that OSHA case was back in January on Medicare services being able to enforce vaccines on employees and overcoming most of Biden's vaccine mandate. Continuing the article, meanwhile, all that Team Pharma has going for it is the wrongly decided 1905 Jacobson v. Massachusetts case that is now completely discredited because it was used as a justification for forced sterilization in the Buck v. Bell case in 1927 that was struck down as unconstitutional in 1978. See Holland, page 2010. Page 42, footnote 300. Don't have the time to reference that, but you can look up the article at tobyrogers.substack.com. Jacobson is a product of eugenic thinking, and it must be repudiated as such and permanently relegated to the dustbin of history. Were it not for the fact that pharma bumps millions of dollars into our political and regulatory system every year, we would not even be having this conversation, because the courts have been clear, at least since World War II, that bodily autonomy is sacrosanct and that all medical decisions reside with the individual, not the state, not doctors, and not the public health system. The real story here is that progressives just cannot seem to quit eugenics. They loved eugenics in the 1900s when Jacobson was decided. They loved eugenics in the 1920s when Buck v. Bell was decided. And now progressives have once again embraced eugenics with their fanatical support for junk science, mRNA shots that are killing and maiming hundreds of thousands of people in the U.S. and around the world. All decent and sane people must reject eugenics and reject pharma junk science and return to the bedrock legal principles of individual autonomy and personal sovereignty. And I'll have some commentary to get back on this, but we'll start out this clip that is from the last edition of The High Wire with Del Bigtree. Since we have, I think, barely enough time, let me correct me if I'm wrong, Sam. This last edition of The High Wire with Del Bigtree was April 28th, 2022, segment with Jeffrey Jackson, his regular appearance. So, Sam, if we have enough time, we'll go ahead and play that clip. I'll do the countdown to try to synchronize it for the Facebook live feed. Okay, here we go. Ready to go in 3, 2, 1, and please play that clip.
happens. But let's talk about some of the science here. There's some new science that was just published. This was in a medical journal of Curis. This was a peer-reviewed study, and it's titled Correlation Between Mask Compliance and COVID-19 Outcomes in Europe. So they took 35 countries in Europe, and they looked at it for 6 months during October 2020 to March 2021. So that was the entire continent as it was undergoing like a severe outburst of COVID-19 at the time this study was being analyzed. Yeah. And they looked at the daily case numbers, the deaths, and mask usage. And this is what they wrote. This is what the authors found. The lack of negative correlation between mask usage and COVID-19 cases and deaths suggested that the widespread use of masks at a time when an effective intervention was most needed, i.e. during the strong 2020-2021 autumn-winter peak, was not able to reduce COVID-19 transmission. They went on to say this in their conclusion. Moreover, the moderate positive correlation between mask usage and deaths in Western Europe also suggests that the universal use of masks may have had harmful unintended consequences. Huge findings here in this study. Let's look at the table from this study because this really tells the story. So they have here a statistically significant numbers. These are highlighted in the right there. And what statistically significant means is basically means it's unlikely to be explained by some simple chance or random fact. So there is some type of correlation they're finding there. And what they're finding, if you go take that column and go across in all of Europe, top column, masks and deaths. So they found a correlation between the percentage of time people wore those masks and the mortality rate from COVID-19. They also found it in Western Europe. That was places like Austria, Denmark, France, Germany, Italy. These are places that locked down hard. Portugal, Spain, Switzerland. So this is what the chart looked like when you bring it kind of on a plotted out. Each one of those dots is a country. And to the right, if you go, the further you go to the right, is a higher percentage of mask wearing. So you can see most of those countries are over 50% of mask wearing, some outliers to the far right, almost like 95 there. And as this chart goes up, that blue line in the middle is called a regression line. And you see that is trending upwards. You don't want upwards here, people, because that means deaths per million from COVID-19. So there is a correlation according to this study.
So the higher the amount, the use of masks, the higher the rate of, and are we talking all-cause mortality? We're not saying how they died. We just know that deaths rose at the same time that mask usage rose in the countries.
Yeah, these are actually COVID-19 deaths. So not all-cause mortality, just COVID-19.
Okay, very good.
The actual thing we're trying to wear the mask to prevent is apparently something that... something that's correlating. But let's go beyond that. So let's talk, you know, as we do on the show a lot, talk about the greater issues on these lockdowns. Masks, obviously a big part of this. As early as June 2020, we had headlines looking like this. Another aspect that's coming to focus now, lockdown and social distancing could make our immune system weaker, says scientists. That was just before the Heart Advisory and Recovery Team wrote this paper. Now, this team here is UK doctors, scientists, economists. They all came together and formed over the concerns of this COVID-19 public health direction and the policy. And this was one of their papers in March 2021. This was a briefing in preparation for a parliamental debate in the UK on vaccine passports. And they wrote this about the lockdowns. Heart scientists are concerned that this may result, extending lockdowns may result in waning immunity to flu and other respiratory pathogens following a year where the population has had little exposure. Evidence for this is already emerging in Australia, where a sharp increase in respiratory syncytial virus infections in young children has been observed at an unusual time of the year. A child's immune system is not fully developed until the age of 6 or 7 years old, and exposure to pathogens during these early years helps shape an individual's ability to deal with common pathogens circulating within the population. And sure enough, right on target in the northern hemisphere, we started to see those RSV respiratory viruses go up. Here's the headline here. It says a little known virus that surged in children this year doctors used to know RSV as a seasonal virus that emerged in the winter, but in the last few months in the Northern Hemisphere, there has been a surprising surge in cases.
And of for anyone that, if you're new to the show, you are going, wow, this is interesting information. If you've been watching, we warned of this. This was our issue. I said it very clearly. This is like saying, you know, in order, if you want to get stronger, stop going to the gym and lifting weights. Just sit at home. Maybe put some little electrodes that shock your muscles. That's what's going to do it. You know, like some product you bought in the middle of the night. That's what these masks and these lockdowns were. It was a cheap approach towards immunity that we've never attempted before. Our children are constantly in contact with bacteria and viruses in the dirt, when they play, in the air, all the time, licking freaking sidewalks and what have you, as disgusting as it is. It's what builds their immune system to remove them. And remember, whether lockdowns or masks work, if they work the way they said they would work, then they're being denied access to all of these things and all the antibacterial soaps. All of this was clearly going to be dangerous, you know, to their future immune system, which from the dawn of man, from the creation of man, whether you believe in creation or evolution, it was in contact and in concert with these vaccines and viruses that we've learned to live. So to take a break and let the virus keep mutating and getting stronger, yet we stop working out against it, so stupid. It just seems so obvious to anyone that has blood pumping through their veins.
And the reason we're talking about this, why are we talking about this? We're bringing the viewers and the listeners on this investigation with us. So We're talking about the immunity. Some alarming headlines have been coming out now about children and hepatitis link. There's an alarming uptick in hepatitis. Here's the headline. Scientists investigating mystery hepatitis in children probe linked to lowered immunity due to lockdown. Here is another headline. Hepatitis, adenovirus, is prime suspect in mystery outbreak in children. And this isn't, you know, it's a big deal because mystery outbreak of hepatitis in children grows, first death reported. And understand it, at least, you go into this article, it says at least 17 children, that's 10% of all the cases they've discovered worldwide here, have required liver transplants. So this is not a mild thing. And the ages of these children are from like 1 month to like 16 years old. So there's a wide range. Many of them are, the cluster of it's under 10 years old. But we're trying to figure out, you know, there's a couple directions here following the data. And we look and say, well, what have all of these children, now it's being found around the world, all at the same time. So what have all these children around the world been exposed to? Well, a common theme is lockdowns. Another common theme is maybe not the 1 month old children, but these younger children, is the vaccine. So As we're looking into this investigation, these data points, we start to bring stuff back that we've covered before to really try to paint a picture and investigate this. And maybe someone out there who's much smarter than you or I, a scientist, another Geert Vandenbosch, another Robert Malone, can look at this and go, that's my wheelhouse. I know exactly what's going on there.
Yeah, it is. I've seen these headlines. And of course, I think we have to point out that these are, you know, though they are happening in countries all around, the headlines showing us it's in multiple continents now, but it is still a very small group of children. But it was interesting looking at some of these articles, adenovirus, like, and saying a new adenovirus we've never seen before. And you think, you know, how many countries are using an adenovirus vector vaccine? That's what we're using here, Johnson & Johnson, the AstraZeneca vaccine in Europe. And then you think about, it's a monkey adenovirus that isn't supposed to affect humanity at all. Well, now everyone's taking it. In Geert Vandenbosch's point, how is that pressuring adenoviruses, mutations all around them? What happens when those people are coming in contact with adenoviruses? And then are they creating some mutated version that's out there? I mean, so many questions, but clearly messing with nature, you know, is not a good idea. And we're just seeing so many headlines that it makes you feel, and maybe they're just isolated cases being blown up too much, but it feels like we're living in a different world, that somehow the scientists that were supposed to be protecting us are making our environment more and more dangerous for us and keeping us from being able to sort of keep up and keep pace with the, you know, the fitness of the viruses and bacteria. Where's our fitness? And how are we going to keep that if they keep mandating us to sit on our couches, watch television, and eat to-go food everyone in Shanghai is being forced to do right now. It's terrible.
Right, right. Well, let's shift over rapidly here to the last story we're going to cover, and perhaps one of the biggest stories in the United States. We're talking about our domestic food production, our food sovereignty. It looks like some of the issues that have been happening around the world are now knocking at our doors here in the United States. Take a look at this in the news.
Food processing plants all over the country seem to be catching fire.
40,000 pounds of food meant to feed people in a food desert near Maricopa is completely gone.
Eastern Oregon, where crews are battling a major fire at a potato chip processing plant.
Taylor Farms is a major agriculture company. Salinas Fire tells us that 85 to 90% of the building is a total loss.
Police saying a Cessna 340 twin-engine plane crashed onto the side of the General Mills cereal plant here.
The large fire at a potato processing plant in Belfast Thursday is expected to have ripple effects across Maine's agricultural industry.
Heyburn police say the pilot died when his small airplane crashed into a potato processing plant near Highway 30.
Industrial accidents happen, of course, but this is a lot of industrial accidents at food processing facilities at the same time the president's warning us about food shortages.
The emergency evacuations tonight with a massive fire burning at a fertilizer plant in North Carolina.
The fire at this Winston-Salem fertilizer plant now burning for 24 hours.
Food prices are at an all-time high, but experts predict the war in Ukraine is about to make the situation a lot worse. That's because sanctions have blocked fertilizer nutrients from being exported from Russia.
The three top exporters of these nutrients are Russia, China, and Canada. This potash is from Canada, but a shortage in delivery trucks due to a border vaccine mandate has raised costs nearly 40%. And when Russia invaded Ukraine, they and Belarus banned their nutrient exports as well.
So now he and farmers across the country are paying nearly 200% more for it than they did last year.
Wheat supply is strained, driving prices up.
Russia and Ukraine produce a third of the world's wheat and barley exports, disrupting supplies around the globe, translating to higher prices for products in the bread aisle here at home and causing shortages.
A New Jersey company recalling more than 120,000 pounds of ground beef over fears it might be contaminated with E. coli.
Egg prices soaring and experts warn things will likely get even worse.
There is an H5N1 avian influenza outbreak right now.
Almost 23 million birds have been killed to prevent the spread of avian influenza.
What's going on? You've got some people speculating that this might be an intentional way to disrupt the food supply.
That is one of the more disturbing news montages that we've played. I have to say that there's just something so strange about how these stories all line up at the same time.
Right, right. And there's lots of offshoots on these stories. There's so many ways we can report on this. And let's just stick to the facts and let's look at what we have here. So like the report said, you know, at any other time in the United States history, may not have been a big deal to see some of these things happen, could recover. Not so much this time. A lot of concerned eyes are watching. And why are they watching? Because Ukraine, this is the Ukraine war, the Russian-Ukraine war. World Bank warns of human catastrophe food crisis. Now we're seeing these headlines. Before it was kind of thinking, well, if this war goes a little further, if it prolongs, we're going to have to start seeing issues. Now we're seeing headlines like that. And let's go to the UN Food Price Index. So this is the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations. And they have what's called the FAO Food Price Index. And the headline, it says it makes a giant leap to another all-time high in March. So what it says here, let's look at the chart first. It looks basically, you have four lines here. So you have that bottom line there in light blue is 2019. Pretty much all good. The food price index, which is basically a number they gave it. One, it's a little below 100 there, mostly through 2019. And then you see in 2020, it's starting to go up a little bit, still tracking with 2019. And then in 2021, the pandemic disrupts the food chain. Boom, you're going up. And now 2022, in that red, you're seeing almost a vertical exponential line. Mm. And so this is what they had to say about it at the UN. The FAO Food Price Index averaged 159.3 points in March 2022, up 17.9 points or 12.6% from February, making a giant leap to a new to a new highest level since the inception in 1990. The largest increase reflects new all-time highs for vegetable oils, cereals, and meat sub-indices, while those of sugar and dairy products also rose significantly. So these are the factors painting this background of this picture that we're moving into now in the United States. This is the backdrop, if you will. So let's go to this headline here, because there's been a lot of reporting about these explosions at food production plants. This is really one of the best articles I've seen reporting on this, because it just breaks down every single one of them, when they were, what they were, and they doesn't go off into kind of conjectures or talking about anything else. But there's really no rhyme or reason except they're hitting food production plants. That's the only common factor here. We're talking Oregon, Maine, California, 21 different plants and incidences
at
these plants.
Look at this map. I mean, look at this.
Yeah.
This is like, look how well dispersed it is across the country. And what's so shocking is how little news reporting there is. I would think the FBI, I would be expecting to hear FBI investigating outbreak of attack, potential attacks or arson on, you know, food packaging plants across America, yet nobody seems to care.
And there's been 21, a lot of local news coverage. It kind of pops on the radar and then just goes the next day into the memory hole. No one really remembers it. So people started putting these dots together, thank God. But one of the two things that struck out to me, that when I was looking at this, two of the incidences were caused by planes, private planes crashing directly into the plants, killing the operators of these plants. And that's something I don't really recall. Plants directly going into food processing plants, exploding and destroying or taking the plants offline.
That's so bizarre, especially when most of these food processing plants are out in the middle of a hay field somewhere or a potato field, not a building in sight in any direction. Like, oh my God, I can't, whoa. It's like a tractor beam sucking me in. I mean, what is going on? You hit the only two-story building in the 200-mile vicinity. Plenty of places to land in corn fields all around you. So weird.
And that's a great place to start an investigation, is where coincidences look like coincidences are happening. You got to start looking there. And, it's been spread out. Potato manufacturers, onion processing plants, a lot of meat processing plants, and even Azure Standard, that was in Oregon, that was an independent distributor of natural and organic foods. They went, their whole warehouse facility burned down to the ground. And some of these facilities have built back or are like limited capacity. So some of them are, but a lot of them have not. But, you know, as I was researching this story, another headline came up that piqued my interest. And this is what it was right here. They're talking about fertilizer companies. Fertilizer company complains about railroad shipment limits. And I thought, why the heck is this happening right now? Well, this was that was Union Pacific that is limiting the railroad's supply of fertilizer on their tracks. And this was the press release from the company, the fertilizer company. It's called CF Industries Holding. They're America's basically one of their leading agricultural fertilizer manufacturers. And this is what it says here. CF Industries, Union Pacific curtails fertilizer shipments. The timing of this action by Union Pacific could not come at a worse time for farmers, says Tony Will, president and chief executive officer, CF Holdings, Industry Holdings Incorporated. Not only will fertilizer be delayed by these shipment restrictions, but additional fertilizer needed to complete spring applications may be unable to reach farmers at all. He goes on to say this, by placing this arbitrary restriction on just a handful of shippers, Union Pacific is jeopardizing farmers' harvests and increasing the cost of food for consumers. And it seems like
The trains are just isolating fertilizer that needs to get these farmers and saying, no, we're limited quantities. We're just not going to be able to get it to everybody. Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, they're packing the cars. The cars are on the tracks. There's congestion on the tracks with these cars. They can't get them moving. They don't have the people to get them moving. It doesn't make sense. And just yesterday, digging into this story, there was over 8 hours of testimony in front of what's called the Surface Transportation Board. That's the United States government independent agency that governs over the rail systems and the maritime shipping lanes. And over 8 hours. Here's just a slice of what was discussed at this board meeting. Take a look.
The workers represented by TTD affiliated unions have been sounding the alarm on the state of the freight rail industry for years. It is deeply unfortunate, but also completely predictable that we would find ourselves here today. As both railroad employees and customers sit before you to express a shared simple fact that today's freight rail network is simply not working for anyone other than railroad investors. We hope that the board embraces this opportunity to put the freight rail industry on a new path. The forces that brought us here today are not the result of the pandemic, the supply chain crunch, or the so-called Great Resignation. Rather, Class I carriers adopted precision-scheduled railroading and shrank the workforce and equipment needed to effectively operate a railroad without care for impacts on service or customers. As Chairman Oberman pointed out, the Class I's collectively have reduced their workforce by 29% over the last 6 years. That is about 45,000 employees cut from payroll. The railroads laid off thousands of engineers and conductors over the last few years. In fact, in the 5 years prior to the pandemic, BNSF cut its train and engine workforce by 27%, NS by 24%, UP by 32%, and CSX by a whopping 43%. It is no mystery why the railroads can't provide flexibility or surge capacity right now. They eliminated those employees in the pursuit of an operating ratio and higher profits and have now been caught with their hand in the cookie jar.
Wow. So what we're seeing here, what was being said there, he says this isn't a result of the pandemic. It's not a result of this Great Resignation. But what's interesting is it's happening right in the middle of this thing against a backdrop of the war. So this is why this is going to be, I believe, researching this, a problem that's going to ripple out in the United States and be a major discussion point. So yeah. He mentioned something called precision scheduled railroading. So these Class I railroads, and they determine them Class I, Class II, Class III by their revenue. So they're literally ranked by their revenue. They did this precision scheduled railroading to make lean their operating ratio. So they do an operation model that seeks to streamline their operations. And in order to streamline operations, part of that is reducing headcount or laying people off in order to maximize profits. And here is just a headline. Just this last week, Union Pacific profits. Remember, this was the company that's throttling the fertilizer shipments. Union Pacific rate hikes push railroad Q1 profits up 22%. I mean, it's kind of like reporting on this. It's just the tale of greed that we always talk about with the pharmaceutical industries. But these worker shortages, really, to put this into a graph, this is what it looks like here. And this was an article called The Perils of Precision Scheduled Railroading. And it has a graph here, and it shows over the years, you know, you have around 2016, you see this step down. That's right when this precision scheduled railroading entered. You see this step down of headcount dropping. And so they're making their workers and their employment leaner and leaner and leaner, and they can't adapt to this surge capacity. So you have the COVID-19 pandemic coming in and slowing down these railroads, slowing down the food chain, and then all of a sudden you have a double effect. You have the restrictions being lifted, so shipping's back to normal, and then you have the spring planting season. So there's another surge on fertilizer and goods. So there's literally no capacity for people. So they're having to rapidly go out and hire workers to move these cars and these trains because they don't have them anymore.
Wow. I mean, it really makes you think. I mean, we hear in the news, but I think we've got to start looking to the future, which is a lot of why we're having this conversation now. What does this mean? If we're not fertilizing the plants, we're not getting the grains growing, that affects grain production. We're hearing things out of the Ukraine that are similar. All of this it seems like we're on a crash course for some very, very difficult times ahead here in America.
All right. Well, that finishes that clip of The High Wire with Del Bigtree, last edition, which is April 28th, 2022. With Jeffrey Jackson, this is Chris Steiner of Liberation Station Radio Show. Please stay tuned for one more hour, and we'll be back.
Into contact and just react. You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Bread.